We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky.
All right, we're ramping up for Kings Warriors. Play-in tournament, 9-10 game, 7 p.m. tip at the Golden 1 Center.
See, I can't argue with you.
Or as they call it up there, the G1C. Kitty Caraway will join us at 8:30. ESPN 1320. Kyle Draper will join us at 9:20. Oh, I can't wait for that. The trash talk will be real. Well, folks, it's the Sacramento Kings, man. The Warriors can't lose to them. And look, as of now, let's just be real.
Well, the Warriors they can.
But what I'm saying is, already this has been one of the more disappointing Warrior seasons in recent memory. It has. And they won 46 games. And they won 17-4 in their last 21 road games. And they did have one of the six best road records in Golden State Warrior history since they moved to the Bay Area, at least. How can you wash away that disappointment this year from the Warriors? Does it have to be a second-round playoff appearance? Does it have to be a first-round playoff appearance?
I think, to me, it's getting into the first round at minimum.
We'll wash away any disappointment from this season?
No, not any. A lot
it's just
of it.
Minimal.
Yeah, to me, that would be, given what we've seen all year, it would almost feel like overachieving. Just, I'm going off the eyeball test of what I've seen from this team all year. Not the expectations before the season started.
So that
you get what I'm saying? Like,
so the expectations when you recalibrated with what? They were 19-24?
Well, early on in the season, before the season started, I was like, I don't know. I just don't know. We'll see. You know, and then they got off to a good start. And I was like, oh, maybe I undersold them. And then it started to go bad. And then just watching the totality of the year, I've felt like they've been behind the eight ball. I didn't think they were a very good team, period. Just not a good team. So to me, not good teams are fringe playoff teams, which is where they are right now. Now, if they were to get into the playoffs and get into the first round, to me, that wouldn't be the big goal of I have the highest payroll of all time and first round exits are not to be tolerated. I totally understand that.
Right.
But given what I saw from this team, it might be an overachievement.
Oof.
Just because I don't think they're a very good team.
Oof.
We saw 82 games.
They've had one of the better records in the last 38 games, which is crazy.
They played a lot of bad teams.
With not a lot to play for. I get it. I get it.
I mean, how many great wins do they have this year?
Boston, Milwaukee, Dallas. Well, that's some good road wins. I think the Toronto game was a good win concerning the travel.
I agree with you,
but Orlando. I'm nitpicking. I'm not disagreeing with you at all. It's been a very up and down regular season for this team, which has led to a disappointing place in the standings. You're the 10th seed. What goes into that? Guys missing action. It really hasn't been like major injuries that's derailed this team, but it's just your team hasn't been wholesome.
Yeah.
And so you got all these moving parts. You got all these combinations that just don't fit. And so maybe it's just a badly constructed roster at the end of the day where all the pieces don't fit together.
I don't even know if they don't fit. I just think that we're relying on some of the pieces to a degree that they're miscast as, like, Andrew Wiggins is a great example. I think all of us thinking that he's the most important Warrior coming outside of Steph Curry coming in this year, I don't think we were wrong on that. But clearly his body of work is the 3 months of 2022, that's the outlier. You know, and I was wrong. Like he's miscast as a number two. He's not. He'll never be that guy.
Well, maybe not that
consistently.
Guy, but can he be your best two-way player on a team that doesn't have a lot of two-way players? Can he be one of your better? Can he? I mean, who else is a candidate?
He probably still is your best two-way player. Exactly. But I guess that what I would argue now is I'm learning that's not good enough.
Probably not.
You know?
Probably not.
I'm learning that's not good enough.
Probably not. Not at 12.5 points per game. Let's go to Chris in the 707. Chris, what's happening? You're on the roast.
What's up, you guys? Good morning. Love the show. Listen all the time.
Thank you, brother.
Hey, so Warriors, they're definitely going to punk these Kings tonight. I think I understand maybe what Shassi's trying to say, but maybe not. I hope this is what he means, because I lived in San Diego for a few years, huge Niner fan, and, you know, Chargers had no bearing on me, but it was during the years of LT and everything. They were having fun. It was fun to be kind of just a part of the low root form from afar.
You're breaking up, Chris. Call us back. Call us back when you get a chance.
So
go ahead, call us back, Chris.
So I guess what I was saying is very simple to me. It's like, okay, let's say Joe Shasky, which I wouldn't do, but picks up and moves to, for this hypothetical, let's say San Diego. And my kid isn't 10 years old. If he's already a formulated Giants fan, this is a different equation. But we go down to San Diego, and everybody's a San Diego Padre fan. And yeah, maybe dad's a Giants fan. But if the Padres become good, and my kid's growing up around all Padre fans, and he starts liking the Padres and watching them, like, I get it. I'm not saying it's exactly what I would do in every situation, but I get it. I get wanting to be a part of it.
Yeah.
You don't, and that's okay.
I understand. I mean, hey, look, to me, my kid will be around nothing but Niners gear, Giants gear, and Warriors gear. Yeah, we could move to Texas. We could move to Florida. We could move to North Dakota. We could move to North Carolina. Don't really give a damn. Could move to Sacramento. Hell, got affordable houses up there. Baby Chaz, you're not rooting. You're rooting for the Niners, Giants, and the Warriors.
Well, one thing I've learned.
Into it. I'm not going to force it into it.
Yeah, I was going to say, one thing I've learned is that, you know, kids will reject if you try to force something on them. Oh, yeah,
no doubt. It'll happen organically, though. I got faith in that. I have faith in that. By the way, some breaking news. This is real breaking news.
Okay.
This is real breaking news. Milwaukee Bucks are prepared to be without Giannis Antetokounmpo for the start of their opening round series against the Indiana Pacers. But they're hopeful that treatment on his left calf strain will allow him to return sometime later in the series. This doesn't sound like good news for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Is this the last we've seen of Giannis in a Bucks jersey?
I don't know. He's just had a
nightmare season.
Boy, it's been a nightmare season. Damian Lillard, I'm sure it's a nightmare for him.
I mean, it's
this is not good. This is not good. This is not good. It's not good at all. So the Bucks could be done. 888-957-9570 is the number. What is the key matchup tonight for the Golden State Warriors in the Sacramento key game? Like, we were just talking about the youngsters and Kuminga and Podzimski and TJD. If this game comes down to them having to produce, then I don't think that's right. This comes down to me to the big dogs. Steph has to be right. But so does Clay. And so does Wiggins, and so does Draymond. So, you know, when a lot of people say, well, we need this from Kuminga, we need this from Pods. No, this is their first ever game. I expect some mistakes from these guys. This is high-level basketball, high stakes, road game, sold-out house, playoff environment. Asking Pods and TJD to exceed whatever they've done so far in the regular season, I think it's completely unfair.
Yeah, but haven't they been a big part of why they're even in the 10
seed? I think they've been a part of it. A big part? What's a big part?
Well, I mean, Podziemski's fifth most on the team in minutes per game.
Plays a lot of minutes.
Kuminga's right behind him. It's at like seven. So they're three of your top eight pieces. I think everyone would agree. Like, yes, your top seven or eight players, essentially, on a night-to-night basis this year, Kuminga and Podziemski have been a part of it. And recently, so is TJD. Like three of your top eight dudes. The other five are seasoned veterans.
But would you be surprised if these guys struggled in this environment?
No, I wouldn't be surprised if they struggled.
Let's make this my equation. Play. Yeah, no, I'm not saying don't play them. I'm not saying don't play them. And like, have a quick hook if you need to. Look, if they make mistakes because they've never been in this environment before. JK last year, the second round. Hell, they didn't have many alternatives last season. And JK got the quick hook. Hell, what game was it? game five or game six, Jordan Poole and DiVincenzo didn't even play in the fourth quarter. And they were two of your most seven, eight trusted players last season on that team.
Yeah,
I mean, Steve Kerr and his rotations, he may have a quick hook for these guys. What I'm saying is,
Steph's playing 36, 37?
Yeah, he's going to have to play 36, 37 if the game
gets
tight.
How many is Clay off? I mean,
32, hopefully, and Draymond, 32, 33.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But what I'm saying, look, I'm not disagreeing that they're going to see minutes.
Pod CJD is going to play.
I'm not saying that at all. Yeah. It's not what I'm getting into. But what I'm saying is, don't expect them to carry a team. Don't expect them to have monster games.
Fall or rise
right.
because of the top five players on the team.
I expect mistakes from guys who had never been in a situation before. This is a tough ask. You're part of a team. You're part of a core. We know the expectations and the pressure. All the pressure is on the Golden State Warriors.
Think about what happened with Keegan last year. He wasn't good until, what, game three or four?
Wasn't good until game four.
Game four. Okay. For some reason, I thought maybe he came.
Maybe he had a couple moments in game three.
Game three. Maybe I'll.
Maybe game three, but they were getting blown out, remember?
Yeah, but didn't he hit a couple buckets late?
He got some buckets, but game four, he was really good.
Yeah, really good. So, but it took him a while, and he had a lot of run that entire year with that Kings team. So, yeah, I hear you on all that, but I think the way this team is constructed, they do need some. One of the three youngsters is going to have to have a good game.
One of them has to pop.
I don't even know about pop, but just a good game. Like, whether it's Trace, whether it's Kuminga, whether it's Pods, one of them's going to have to make some plays.
How you defend the Fox tonight?
See, to me, I throw the kitchen sink at him. Like, Wiggins, but at the same time, I need Wiggins' offense, but I also don't want him to get in foul trouble with Kuminga on him. But I worry about Kuminga on De'Aaron Fox in foul trouble. You know, the silly fouls, leaving your feet, not closing out properly.
Yeah, I don't know about Kuminga in this situation against De'Aaron Fox.
But
this is where the GP2 loss hurts.
Yes.
So maybe try to steal some minutes with Moses Moody defensively. Maybe he has to play. Because if De'Aaron Fox, like, for example, you get Pods out there.
I don't think you can zone them either.
If you get Pods out there, and he has to guard De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, it could be a long night.
I don't like that matchup either for the youngster.
But I don't think you can go zone against this team strictly because of their three-point shooting.
No, zone is a dead giveaway to we can't play man defense.
Exactly.
We can't defend at the point of attack. And then you're going to have a long night. You got to take the head off the snake. And it starts with Wiggins on Fox. Shadow Wiggins' minutes with De'Aaron Fox's minutes. Whenever Fox leaves the game, Wiggins can leave the game. Whenever Fox is on the floor, I need Wiggins on the floor. Straight up. That has to be his assignment, one-on-one. Don't even worry about offense. We're going to give you the ball here and there to give you some touches here and there. But Wiggins, to me, has to be locked up. He has to lock up De'Aaron Fox. Keep the 2 feet out the paint. Keep him from going downhill. He goes out the game, Wiggins goes out the game. De'Aaron Fox goes to the scorer's table. I need Wiggins at the scorer's table. I don't know if they have the assets tonight without GP2 to throw another body on De'Aaron Fox. I really don't.
Yeah, I keep coming back to the X factor offensively. For me, like, it's Klay Thompson. When Klay is hitting, they're just a different team. When he's hitting, everything opens up offensively. You have to guard everyone across the board. I feel like the vibe of the team is different. Then you get that little two-man game with him and Trayce Jackson going. And you expect a certain output from Steph Curry. The Klay Thompson shooting being on point is very important. And I think that he can ride the wave. And I think he changes the dynamic of their half-court offense when he's hitting.
Let's go to Chris in the 707 is back. He's back. What up, Chris?
Sorry, guys. I was rolling down the Cotati grid. Lost you a second. So, I agree with Shasky. I think it might be a Klay game tonight. But my point was only that I lived in San Diego for a while, and, you know, when the Chargers won, the city came alive a little bit at the time. And when they lost, everybody was kind of down. And so I got into just pulling for the Chargers because it had no bearing on my team. And so, you know, I'd go to the bar with my boys and they'd be pulling for the Chargers and I'd be rooting for them to win because then everybody was happier and it was more fun. But I tell you what, if I live in Dallas or Green Bay or LA or one of those areas, I ain't doing the same thing. But the Chargers, I get with that. The Kings, if I lived in Sacramento, sure, if the Warriors weren't playing or whatever, I could say, okay, cool, if they win, maybe everybody's happier. Like, that's fine. And you kind of pull for them. But my kid ain't wearing no Kings jersey, no Dallas jersey. They're wearing my Niner jersey, Debo jersey. Let's go. Let's go Dubs tonight. Let's go get that win.
Let's go.
Good call, Chris. Yeah, I ain't jumping off no bandwagons if I move. That's all I'm saying. I understand if that's what you do, that's what you do. I get new age fans are different. New Age fans are different. They set hop all the time. I seen so many Bay Area Patriot fans, it drove me sick. How the hell did you become a Patriot fan living in San Francisco? Before league pass, all of a sudden Tom Brady comes around. Oh, we're let's root for the Patriots. Great, I guess.
But your point is right there. There are going to be a lot of people who are Steph Curry fans, like Jordan, like Kobe, like Tom Brady, who aren't going to be Warrior fans 15 years from now.
Oh, I know. I know. I don't know what to say about that.
But but here's what I would say. We've drafted off that as a fan right. base, and it's been able to afford them the highest luxury tax bill of all time.
I guess.
What do
I
you mean you guess?
I guess. I guess the bandwagon fans have a lot to do with that. I don't.
Well, no, they help. I'm not saying that they're everything.
Right. It is pretty crazy, like, because Kobe, obviously, one team. Jordan, I know he played for the Wizards, but really, it was the Bulls, right? LeBron. Like, there's people with three or four different LeBron jerseys in their closet. Like, and he changed his number a couple of times. Like, think about that. That's crazy.
I know.
Cavs.
Those
to me are Steph stans or LeBron stans. Those aren't real fans to me. They're player fans. They're not team fans. So, to me, I'm like, great. Awesome. You're a Steph stan. You won't be a Warrior fan 15 years from now. Great. Whatever. That's what you got to live with. I couldn't live with Sam Hoppin as a fan. Like, you get to, that's the fandom. That's the thing about fandom. That's so great. You stick with your roster through the thick and thin. Through thick and thin.
Yeah.
They go down the drain. You go down the drain with them.
Yeah, but like 9, 10, 11, 12 year olds, they blow like the wind when it comes to their allegiances.
I was a Warrior fan all those years.
You're different. I'm just saying the modern kid fans all over the place.
The Giants weren't that good. They had a couple years that popped, but they weren't that good.
You also didn't have MLB, you know, the app where you could search any team out. And it's different. Like, it's just different.
Well, I'll agree. Sorry, I'm going to cut you off there, Shasta, but I do agree with that. The ability to watch other teams around the country, it does change things. Like, I remember growing up as a kid, I had Giants games, but I also had a lot of Braves games because they were always on TBS. So, like, I mean, I'm not saying I didn't become a Braves fan, but, like, I became kind of familiar with the Braves.
And you become familiar. Yeah. Like, so I watched all those Braves games.
My buddy Mike is a diehard Braves fan.
But I watched those Braves games to hate them. I rooted against them every single game.
Because they're really, really good.
But I was watching just baseball. So...
But to Shasky's point, though, it's very easy to, like, if you just, you stumble across a random team, Milwaukee Bucks, and then, all right, I guess you just kind of fall down that rabbit hole and become a Bucks fan. I'm saying, like, I could see how that might happen.
You know what? That's bad parenting, then.
Oh, I threw the Bucks out as an example.
This whole hypothetical is bad parenting. This is bad parenting.
So what would you say about Guru's fandom?
I mean, you know how I feel about that. You don't have to ask me that. Guy grew up in Union City. He's a Cowboy fan and a Pittsburgh Pirate fan and a L.A. Laker fan.
At least Bonte didn't win.
Go to St. Warrior fan. And what else? Who else does he root for? Who's his hockey team? I mean, come on, man. Like, I'm not shaming fans. Do you? I'm just saying, I wouldn't do that. Shit, I don't roll like that. Now, if you roll like that, more power to you. I don't roll like that.
I am very interested to see what the breakdown is in that stadium tonight, Warriors Kings fans. I am interested to see how many Warrior fans are in the building.
Is E-40 going to be there tonight?
Oh, I forgot about that.
He hasn't been up there since that situation.
Forgot about that.
That's right.
they're on the chat saying, right. My Baltimore Orioles.
No, that's all a joke. I haven't watched one full Oriole game all season.
Give them that last highlights. 2 months that Gunnar Henderson got with the Orioles last year. Audi Ruchman, who we're going to see in the home run derby.
Your boy made a ridiculous catch in center field yesterday. I tagged you on it.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I haven't watched one full Oriole game. I watched every single Giants game, though. I roll with the Giants, despite them stinking it up. The big win yesterday, though. Let's go to Ryan in San Bernardino. San Bernardino, home of the San Bernardino Junior College Wolverines. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, I'm a transplant, so I can't, like, really back them up and stuff like that. But what's up, guys? I call you guys every once in a while.
What's up, man?
Hey, I wanted to chime in, bro, because I'm a Bulls fan. And what you guys are saying about Steph Curry, like, the fans that will not be Warriors fans after he retires, I can relate to that. Like, I'm a Bulls fan. It sucks. But I'm a Bulls fan, obviously, because of Michael Jordan. I was able to successfully brainwash my daughter to be a Niner fan. She's, like, so dope with it. Like, I cry for her when we lose big games. But I told her, I said, tread lightly with the Bulls. I don't know if you want to be a Bulls fan. It's painful. We never win. But she's a Bulls fan, too. She rocks at Notre Dame. And it's just cool, man. The fandom, you can't be set hopping like my boy said. That's all I really wanted to say.
No, but, that I agree with. That I agree with.
Fandom. Fandom is so weird. It's become, you know what? I'm not going to lie. I'm glad I went to journalism school to kind of get both sides of the equation. Mm-hmm. To kind of just take a step back from fandom and to see what fandom is. Fandom is insane. It's all type of, it's all acceptable. That's what I gather from fans. There's a lot of fans who think they are entitled and have a lot of self-worth to the team. There's some fans who think they're actually on the team.
I think what perfectly encapsulates like the ridiculousness of fandom is next Thursday in the NFL draft.
Ugh.
You have no idea no what clue. Any no, of these none. Players are going to do.
Think about
and
it.
And you're going to get people booing a player who might be generational.
Donovan McNabb.
I didn't know who the hell Khalil Mack was from Buffalo.
I know.
I wanted Johnny Football. Boy, was I wrong.
Brock Purdy. Yeah. Trey Lance. Go. Think about all those
crazy.
Things.
Unbelievable. Fandom. Fandom, fandom, fandom. All right. Monty Poole, Joy, Stine, and Goo yesterday. Lutman brought this cut up on a show call yesterday, so I'll play it. Will it be a failure if the Warriors lose in the first round? Of course it would be.
To me, if they lose, this season has been a disaster. Everything from the Chris Paul acquisition was all about the postseason. They didn't bring in Chris Paul because they wanted to win 55 games. They brought in Chris Paul so that when we get to the postseason, we have a guy on our bench who can lead our bench crew that's reliable, low turnover guy, high assist guy, an orchestrator, an organizer. And so if they're one and done, that's a colossal failure. But to me, they got to get through at least two games. And I know the second game's going to be a lot tougher. But if they don't, to me, it says, okay, guys, it's time to start turning the page.
Even if the Warriors do get through these two games, and say they lose in the first round at Oklahoma City, would that still be deemed as a failure in your opinion? To me, that would be a failure.
So what? Well, anything short of what? Western Conference Finals?
Yeah, at least got to make a run and push the second round series deep into the second round. Losing the second round is 6-7 games. Okay, it's not necessarily a success, but it's not a total failure. If you get what I'm saying.
No,
I do.
You
know what I'm saying? You get back to the points you were at last year, and depending on how the games look, you're like, all right, considering what the roster looked like and how old they were, I can live with that. If they lose, they don't even make the first round. And if they lose in the first round, to me, that's a colossal disappointment.
Why? Are you going back to the before the season started expectations?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay? Absolutely.
Because everything that we've watched 5 months.
But not only that, it's also what the players have said and what the coaches said. Steve Kerr said over and over, I believe we can make some noise. I believe we can make some noise. Draymond Green, we don't fear anybody. Stephen Curry, we just want a shot. Klay Thompson, we just want a shot.
Well, we just want a shot is different from we have a championship core that can make a run. Like,
well,
I expect the coach to make statements like that. I'm not mad at Steve Kerr for having faith. What's he supposed to say? Hey, we're doomed? You know, like I expect that kind of stuff. And why would they in their own minds, why would they ever admit defeat like
well,
that?
Well, they shouldn't admit defeat. But when you look at the payroll and you look at the roster and you look at the players, and I get what the Western Conference looks like now.
Yeah.
It's still a disappointment when you pay this much money for a roster.
Yes, going back to the preseason and before the season started, expectations, there's no doubt. And given the tax bill, absolutely. And so to me, when he says, like, turn the page, I don't know what he means by turn the page, Monty Poole. And I would like to have maybe an elaboration on that. Does he mean, because Steve Kerr's here for the next 2 years. Steph Curry's here for the next 2 years. Draymond the next three. Turn the page means major changes and the entire era. I don't think Warrior fans are ready for that. I think retool or, you know, completely reimagine the team around Steph Curry, I'm here for that. I mean, turn the page means end this run and trade Steph? No, I don't think anyone's ready for that. I'm not.
Monty Poole did say that the dynasty ended back in 2019. I want to hear this cut.
Let's not get into the dynasty talk because the dynasty is already over. That ended in 2019. Yeah, they won a championship since, but dynasties sort of implies that you are winning. You're in the thick of it every single year, like the Spurs were. They didn't win, you know, 20 championships, but they were a dangerous team for all those years. So I think what's at stake for the Warriors is that they got to figure out who they are as a team. You know, 82 games usually is enough to figure that out, but in this instance, it's not.
Yeah, which is wild. We still don't know who the Warriors are. We still don't know who they are. They've had a good run to end the season. Obviously, 17-4 in their last 21 road games, but I'm kind of with Monty. I still don't know who they are, which is why I expect the unexpected tonight. No result would surprise me. Honestly, would it be some? If they win by 10, wouldn't surprise me. If they win by 5, wouldn't surprise me. If they lost by 5, wouldn't surprise me. If they lost by 10 or more, wouldn't surprise me. Nothing would surprise me with this basketball team with what I've seen over the first 82 games of the season. Just wouldn't.
There are some scenarios in my mind that would surprise me.
Like what?
Ejections and things like that.
No, I'm just talking about results, win losses, the result of the game. Like,
I mean, they've lost in some pretty wild.
You're worried about Draymond Green getting ejected? I'm not worried about that.
It's a one game.
I'm not worried about Draymond getting ejected. You know? I'm not worried about it getting ejected.
You can have a guy's foul out. I mean, like in these one game scenarios, anything can happen.
Yeah, I mean. Absolutely.
That's all. I mean,
I'm saying nothing would surprise me though.
But doesn't
ejections would surprise you?
Yeah. Every time something like that happens, like yes, I get surprised. Situational basketball. 30 seconds to go. Not hitting a bucket. Not fouling a guy when you're up 3. I mean, they've lost in every way.
Right. Which is why nothing would surprise me.
Fouling a guy, he hits both free throws, he goes nothing to overtime, they lose anyway.
Now, an ejection would surprise me in this instance. Okay. I would be shocked if Draymond Green got ejected from this basketball game. Shocked. I don't think he's going to get ejected. Come on. I'm still not even baked in. If that happens, then we're having a different conversation tomorrow. I don't know.
I don't think people are prepared. If this is Clay's last game, I don't think people are prepared for that. 12, 13 years? I don't think people are prepared for that. I think people talk about it, and then you get right up to it. Well, and then, I don't know, man.
Well, no, I mean, from doing all the talking we've done the last 2 years, I think a lot of people are ready for that. I think a lot of people are ready for change. I do. I really do. I think people, you brought it up about a month ago, that you just want something new, that you want to reset, maybe. And maybe it's time to reset. I think a lot of people want that. I don't know. Here's Ramona Shelburne on Willard and Dibs. Let's talk about the Warriors and what they will do this offseason, especially if they lose early on in the playoffs or to play a tournament.
I'm curious about whether they take a big swing because they certainly have the ammo to do it. They have the draft picks, they have young players, they have good, couple contracts they could trade, and there's some very interesting trade candidates out there. Like, they are always in the market for stars. There are going to be some stars this summer that might be available. I'm thinking more front court rather than back court because you already have Stephen Clay. I assume Clay Thompson will figure something out. I just can't see the Warriors without him, but yeah, I could be wrong. Maybe Orlando throws a bag at him. I don't know. I think Clay stays. And then the big question is Chris Paul. Like, Chris Paul's been great for them when he's been healthy. I know they really like him. If he comes back, how does he come back? You know, does he come back with the contract he's under? You know, do they renegotiate something? Is there an opportunity to get him for a lesser cost? Like, what would he think of that? Does he have a market elsewhere? Like, that's all. Those are the two that I have the biggest questions about. Like, what do they do going forward? But I wouldn't be surprised at all if they go big game hunting again.
Some front court stars might be available. Mm. Do tell. Mm-hmm. We want names.
I know you do. I'm gonna let that one sit. You're gonna have to figure that out. You're gonna have to figure that one out.
Well,
one of them we've already reported on. One of them, they tried to get LeBron at the deadline.
So that's what may happen in the offseason.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.